Hey, if you want a firearm that is easy to transport, you got to check out the U.S. Survival Rifle from our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. Now, it is a portable rifle that you can put together, take apart in just minutes. And then when you're not using it, you can store the parts in the little case that it comes in. It's so small, you can store it pretty much anywhere, and it's light enough to carry everywhere. Now, it comes in black and two different camo patterns, and you can pick one up for $300 to $400, depending on the finish. Check out their videos. Go to their website. It's one word, henryusa.com/survival. And while you're there, make sure you order their free catalog. Now, Henry makes more than 200 rifles and shotguns and revolvers, all made in America, all backed by a lifetime satisfaction guarantee and the best customer service in the business. Go to their website, henryusa.com. Get their free catalog. They'll send you free decals and a list of dealers where you are. That's henryusa.com, free catalog decals for the Henry U.S. Survival Rifle.
A new dawn is coming to the U.S. stock market, and it's time to throw out the investment blueprint of the last decade and prepare for a massive shift. If you've lost money over the past 2 years, this changes everything. Hi, my name is Mark Chaikin, and I was hired to create three new indices for the NASDAQ based on what I've learned in 50 years on Wall Street. So believe me when I tell you this shift could send dozens of stocks soaring sky high in just the next 90 days. But this is an extreme setup I haven't seen in years, since before the 2020 crash. The last time this happened, you could have more than tripled your money by just owning one stock. And I'm revealing this number one stock to buy today, 100% free of charge at newaistock.com. The question is why? Because everyday Americans will be impacted mostly by what's coming, and I want you to be on the right side of the table when this shift happens. Don't delay. Just visit www.newaistock.com.
All right, who's there for heroes or their families left behind when a service member or a first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless vets, and who helps our nation to never forget 9/11/01? I'll tell you who. It's the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Now the foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responders, Smart Home, and Homeless Veterans programs and the foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrances all across America. Over 80 runs, walks, climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute, they're educating kids from kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep their vow to never forget. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. They're hoping all of us will donate $11 a month. Just go to their website, the letter T, the number two, the letter T.org, the letter T, number two, letter T.org for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. 283 days ago, Joe Biden abandoned Americans behind enemy lines. 13 days prior, he promised he wouldn't do it, and here we are. And nobody ever talks about it except us, that I know of. Anyway, glad you're with us. It is primary day in five states. We'll give you a quick summary of it as we come up. We'll also have Jeff Bartos on. He was one of the Senate primary candidates in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He didn't win. It's now come down to Oz and Dave McCormick. And here we are a week out, and we don't have an answer. This is unacceptable on every level imaginable. It is so bad in terms of, you know, I'll get into this with Bartos in more detail, because this should not happen in this country. We deserve better. The people of Pennsylvania deserve better. You know, most of the states in this country can get their elections done and done right. Here it is a week later, and we still haven't counted all the votes at this time. Never mind that they have an automatic recount because it was a close race. Right now, Dr. Oz is up around 1,000. I think there's very little in terms of votes left out there. Maybe some military, not expected to be a lot. We'll get into this. There's a battle over whether or not unsigned ballots now will be counted, provisional ballots to be counted, et cetera. I'm not going to get in the middle. That's a total shift show. I've given my opinion on it, and I think it's a bad idea because I think this would, in a general election, ultimately hurt any Republican candidate whoever emerges. We have the recount. So we're not going to know definitively till like middle of June or early June. It's crazy. And I'll tell you why it's so unacceptable. How is it that we get to this point? Every other state, look at election year 2020, right?
All these states reported we knew by 11 o'clock at night. Why can't Pennsylvania adopt a system that we would have known the results that night? And if there was a question about this provisional ballot, that provisional ballot, why is there any ambiguity in any of this? Because it's now getting embarrassing. You know, and I still argue, like I did in 2020, that Bill 77, where the state legislature literally circumvented the exact specific language in the Pennsylvania Constitution, which says, quote, in the event that a person's duties, occupation, business require them to be elsewhere, or who on the occurrence of any election are unable to attend their proper polling place because of illness, physical disability, or who will not attend a polling place because of an observance of a religious holiday, who cannot vote because of election day duties in the case of a county employee. That's what the Constitution said, rather than remedy that as you would normally would, and that would be you amend the Constitution, which is a difficult process. They went the easy route, and then I would argue unconstitutional route, circumvented their own Constitution, and they passed a law in Pennsylvania. Dumb idea. This is not following the rule of law. If we don't have laws that we follow, then we are lawless. It's a pretty simple, fundamental thing. It creates uncertainty. It creates anxiety in people. It creates, you know, these integrity measures that I always talk about and I won't list now are so simple, so fundamental, so they're needed to be adopted by every state. And we need results that day, the latest the next morning, because all of this is preventable. All of it. We don't need to go through this every single solitary election. Look, Canada, for example, managed to confirm their results. This is countrywide, the entire country of Canada, and they had a very close race, and they were able to determine the winner in less than 24 hours, 32 million votes cast. Major democracies all over the world are able to produce nationwide results in a single night. By the way, if I had my way, we should have Election Day. Should be one day, and unless you have a real good reason, one day, and Election Day, that's the day people vote. You need the voter ID, signature verification, all those things that Democrats don't want. I don't argue because of nefarious intentions. You know, look at, for example, the runoff election in the presidential election in France. In less than 24 hours, 32 million votes cast, they had the winner. In 2016, when the UK was voting on Brexit, the referendum, 33.5 million people turned out to vote in Great Britain, and it took them about a day to get the full results. You know, we're talking about 1.4 million versus 35 million. Are you kidding me? This is just unacceptable. We'll get into that, though, in the course of the program. And it's just wrong. You know, and then the issue of, we got to take this issue to court to see if the statute is legal. It's insane. On a good note, we have Republicans now have opened up, according to Rasmussen, a 9-point lead on the generic ballot. And if elections were held for Congress today, 48% of likely U.S. voters would vote for the Republican candidate. 39% would vote for the Democrat. That's good news. We're watching five separate states, probably the most interesting, or what that which will be talked about the most, and we'll have full coverage on Hannity tonight at 9 o'clock. Insider Advantage, Fox 5 poll has David Perdue down by 14 points, which is a lot less than the 30-point lead reported by others. Now, here's what's pretty interesting in Georgia. The early voting numbers tallies are through the roof. Now, I'm going to get an update from Matt Towery because he knows Georgia. Him and Robert Cahaly know better than anybody. And apparently turnout today is also through the roof. As of Friday night, 487,000 people had already voted. That's four times the number that voted in the Georgia 2018 election. That's pretty incredible here. Anyway, so we've got a monster GOP turnout. Might turn some of these polls and some of these races on their ears. And Matt will give us an on-the-ground, upfront perspective on all of this. We're going to be watching very closely the race to replace retiring Senator Richard Shelby. That's the case where Mo Brooks, who I knew from my days down in Alabama, he used to fill in on my radio show host. He was the Madison County DA at the time, and who I supported in this race. The president was. They had a little falling out. I'm not sure what it was about, but I've always liked Mo. He's a great guy. And anyway, he's going up against Katie Boyd Britt, Shelby's former chief of staff, Mike Durant, the owner of an aerospace company who's known best for being a helicopter pilot, shot down, captured in the events inspired Black Hawk Down. So we're watching that race very, very closely tonight. Sarah Huckabee Sanders is expected to win the Republican primary for Arkansas governor. We've endorsed Sarah very enthusiastically. I think the world of her. I think she'll be a great governor for the people of Arkansas. I don't know what's happened to Asa. He's gone woke, it seems, on a lot of these issues. The fascinating thing in Georgia, too, is you got Herschel Walker, who's way up in the polls. I think he will beat Raphael Warnock in a general election. Too early to tell, but he is one of the most loved figures ever in the state of Georgia, and he should be. He's one of the nicest, kindest people you'll ever meet in your life. Well, Hannity went through a tough period, and he talked about it in his book. Yeah, if you got hit in the head as often as Herschel Walker, you might go through a tough period in your life, too. This CTE, as they call it, that is a real phenomenon. Football players getting hit that hard, that repeatedly in their heads, and it's a very dangerous sport. Anyway, so we're watching the early voting. We're watching the turnout today. I know in Texas we've got the Attorney General Ken Paxton is going up against George P. Bush. I like both of them. I think George P. Bush, some people are saying this is a referendum on the Bush family. I don't think any of these people are referendums on anybody. Like, you know, for example, the president supporting Perdue against the sitting governor in Georgia. And, you know, we'll see if that gets to a runoff. That, if I was David Perdue, that's what I'd be looking for. We had him on the program last night. I'll say this. Stacey Abrams certainly did not help herself out at all. And she wants to be the governor of the state of Georgia, but she declared over the weekend that Georgia is the worst state in the country to live. She actually said those words. It's not sitting well with voters going into this primary election. And my answer to her is, well, if you don't like it, Stacey, you know, there's 49 other states you're free to go live in. If you think Georgia is the worst state, I lived in Georgia 4 years. I can tell you it's one of the best states in the country. I love Georgia, everywhere from Atlanta to Savannah and everywhere in between. It is a beautiful, beautiful state with wonderful people. Here's what she said.
I'm tired of hearing about being the best state in the country to do business when we are the worst state in the country to live. When you're number 48 for mental health, when you're number one for maternal mortality, when you have an incarceration rate that's on the rise and wages that are on the decline, then you're not the number one place to live in the United States, but we can get there, Gwinnett.
Now, Georgia, what's interesting, remember when they were updating their voting laws in Georgia to have more integrity in the process, et cetera? I still don't think they went far enough. I think they should have one standard, for example, on signature verification. That has not been resolved. It needs to get resolved before the midterms, in my view. But remember the accusations at the time and Jim Crow 2.0 and all those comments, President Biden calling the law a blatant attack on our Constitution and good conscience and ascribed it the Jim Crow of the 21st century and was supported when Major League Baseball moved their All-Star game in 2021 out of Atlanta as a response. Biden urging Congress to pass sweeping federal laws, you know, calling it the For the People and John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. They don't want any standards. Why don't they want standards? Why not voter ID? I need voter ID to buy a beer. I need voter ID to go visit Joe Biden in the White House if he ever invited me. I need voter ID to get into the Capitol. I need voter ID to get a Juul pod, for crying out loud. I needed to get, you know, a bottle of wine or a bottle of Tito's vodka. A little bit of Rose's lime juice. Not bad. Pretty good. So we're watching all of this, and it's going to be interesting. Five states holding these elections. Alabama, the polls close, I believe it's 7 p.m. Arkansas, 7:30. Georgia, 7. So probably by 9 o'clock, we're going to be getting a pretty good picture of where the night is headed. And I hope you'll tune in tonight. We're going to get a picture on the ground. I don't know what's going on in Georgia, though. I am told the turnout is massive. I have been told that the early voting was massive. Is there something that maybe the pollsters are not picking up here? Anyway, we'll get Matt Towery's take on it.
Sean Hannity.
A new dawn is coming to the U.S. stock market, and it's time to throw out the investment blueprint of the last decade and prepare for a massive shift. If you've lost money over the past 2 years, this changes everything. Hi, my name is Mark Chaikin, and I was hired to create 3 new indices for the NASDAQ based on what I've learned in 50 years on Wall Street. So believe me when I tell you this shift could send dozens of stocks soaring sky high in just the next 90 days. But this is an extreme setup I haven't seen in years, since before the 2020 crash. The last time this happened, you could have more than tripled your money by just owning one stock. And I'm revealing this number one stock to buy today, 100% free of charge at newaistock.com. The question is why? Because everyday Americans will be impacted mostly by what's coming, and I want you to be on the right side of the table when this shift happens. Don't delay. Just visit www.newaistock.com.
Hey, if you want a firearm that is easy to transport, you got to check out the U.S. Survival Rifle from our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. Now, it is a portable rifle that you can put together, take apart in just minutes, and then when you're not using it, you can store the parts in the little case that it comes in. It's so small, you can store it pretty much anywhere, and it's light enough to carry everywhere. Now it comes in black and 2 different camo patterns, and you can pick one up for $300 to $400 depending on the finish. Check out their videos. Go to their website. It's one word, henryusa.com/survival. And while you're there, make sure you order their free catalog. Now, Henry makes more than 200 rifles and shotguns and revolvers, all made in America, all backed by a lifetime satisfaction guarantee and the best customer service in the business. Go to their website, henryusa.com. Get their free catalog. They'll send you free decals and a list of dealers where you are. That's henryusa.com. Free catalog decals for the Henry U.S. Survival Rifle. You know, since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans. Now, they are the heroes that put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Now, Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. Now, the complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye. He needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers thankfully paid off his mortgage, and they gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. His home also gives him hope. And with the help of people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers. This is a great mission. They support America's heroes. They're hoping all of us will donate $11 a month so this great work continues. Their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org. The letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org. The letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
As we roll along, 800-941-SEAN, 100 days, Joe Biden has not even had a mainstream media mob interview, which is a fluffy interview for him. You know why? Because he can't handle it. He's not up to the task. I mean, that's how sad this has gotten. Here's the scariest thing, though, Biden has said, and he's abroad right now, and he actually says, the country, meaning the United States, is going through an incredible transition away from fossil fuels via higher gas prices being experienced nationwide. And then he made the statement on gas prices during a joint presser with the Prime Minister of Japan. And he said, here's the situation. And when it comes to gas prices, we're going through an incredible transition that is taking place that, God willing, when it's over, will be stronger and the world will be stronger and less reliant on fossil fuels when this is over. So he's basically saying, I'm okay with $6 a gallon gasoline and maybe higher. I'm perfectly fine. The national average is near $5 a gallon. Are you kidding me? Because everything we buy at every store we go to costs more because of his economic and energy policies. You know, now we're running out of diesel. Now reports were running out of jet fuel. You know what that means? You want to get on a jet? It's going to cost you a fortune more because fuel is costing the airlines a fortune more. And he's perfectly fine with it. Sort of like Buttigieg and Granholm and all the rest of them. High prices are here to stay. And until we can get energy independence from green energy, the technology does not exist. The technology is not present. It's not an option. And he artificially reduced the world supply of the lifeblood of the world's economy. And the results have been disastrous. Look at this. New home sales plummeted 16.6%. Oh, and Joe's answer, a Band-Aid again. 40 million barrels of crude oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve. That is meaningless. You know, Biden finally admitting that this energy boondoggle is sending gas prices through the roof. He said, you know, yesterday, this incredible transition. He's bragging about it, meaning he's not going to lift a finger to stop it. The answer is simple. It is basic. It is fundamental. And it is obvious. We have oil, gas, and coal in abundance over 200 plus years to supply this country. Plenty of time to develop new energy in the meantime. Saving money at the pump over Memorial Day? Forget it. Granholm says high gas prices are the result, denies they're the result of Joe Biden's policies. He instituted this new Green Deal climate alarmist religious cult madness.
Show talking about what's right for America with a renewed commitment to keep you up to date on the breaking news stories.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of this extravaganza. So we're watching five states holding election primaries today. Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia. Minnesota has a congressional district, and Texas, that's where the AG runoff is. Interesting stories. Probably the most interesting story of the night is going to be in Georgia. Herschel Walker has a significant lead in the race to get the Republican nomination. I think he'll be a great senator, and I believe he will defeat Raphael Warnock. I don't think there's any question to that. There's a phenomenon, though, happening in Georgia. Early voting numbers came in nearly 500,000. These numbers are through the roof. Nobody anticipated this. Since early this morning, people that I know in Georgia, I lived in Georgia 4 years. I love Georgia. Unlike Stacey Abrams, I love Georgia. It's not the worst state in the country to live. She wants to be the governor of that state. Good luck with that comment. So all day I've been hearing from people anecdotally that the turnout is massive. The turnout for the early voting was dramatically bigger than it was in 2018. Now, I'm not sure what that means. One of the best, we have two great pollsters out of Georgia. Of course, our friend Robert Cahaley with Trafalgar. And then we have Matt Towery with Insider Advantage. And he did a poll leading up to this, unlike some of the other polling that came in the last week or so saying David Perdue had no shot at a runoff with sitting Governor Brian Kemp. He's saying that he has a 12-point race and Kemp only leading by 2 points in terms of getting into a runoff. Now, here's the interesting part of it. It's always hard to take on an incumbent governor, but there's never been a case in the modern era in Georgia where an incumbent in a runoff won the election. So that's pretty interesting. So, does this mean this unpredicted turnout? Does that mean that maybe all these forecasts need to be thrown out the window? Because nobody saw this part coming. Anyway, Matt Towery, Insider Advantage, joins us now. I'm hearing it from a lot of people and people that are credible to me. Is the turnout really that big?
Oh, yes. I didn't expect, Sean, the same-day turnout, the election day turnout, to be that strong. In fact, I even said yesterday when we released our poll, I thought it would be maybe 20% of the vote, 25%. I thought that early voting had basically just been an acceleration of what would be the election day vote. Oh, no. Now, if you read, like, the Atlanta newspaper, you'll think, oh, it's just this small trickle. That's not the case. Most everybody in the political world knows right now in Georgia that the Republican areas, particularly in North Georgia, counties like Cherokee, right on the edge of Atlanta to the north, Forsyth, up in to the northwest, Lumpkin, you have Pickens, Gilmer, all of these counties that are significant MAGA areas are turning out at very high levels and unexpectedly high levels. We may approach between 900,000 and a million votes by the end of the day. And I can tell you about 250,000 to 300,000 of those votes were not anticipated, which means that this race, I'm not saying it's going to run off. I think it could. Because the candidate, Perdue, basically quit spending money in the last 2 weeks of his campaign and went dark on TV. It's hard to win when that happens. But there were other outside groups that did keep this going. And now it looks to me like my evaluation is that the Kemp campaign decided to bring in Chris Christie, Vice President Pence, Doug Ducey from Arizona. These are people who are not exactly considered to be friends of President Trump. And in my personal opinion, that decision has accelerated a massive turnout in North Georgia of Trump supporters.
You know, this is pretty fascinating to me because I had kind of written it off. I saw the poll, and then you actually talked me back down and said, "Nah, you can't go by this AJC poll or whatever poll it was." And I should have known better. The AJC really likes me. You do know, Matt, that I was there.
Yes.
And when I left to go to the Fox News Channel, as it was going on the air, I was there from day one. At the end of the year in 20, what is it? It was 20, I'm trying to remember the exact year. I'm not sure of the time. 1996, that's when it was. 1996 was a great year for two reasons. The Olympics came and Sean Hannity left. They don't like me there. I don't know why. Why is that? Jill Venosky used to like me. She was pretty nice. I used to like her. She worked at the AJC.
Yep.
Rodney Ho's a pretty good guy. Anyway, so what do you? So you're interpreting this, and I'm not sure how to interpret it based on the geographic location of where you see the highest turnout, and based on the sure numbers of people showing up, which nobody anticipated. Does this mean that there is a really good shot Perdue could get into a runoff with Kemp? That would be amazing.
Well, there's certainly a shot. So your listeners will know, most of the polls had this a 60-30 race with Kemp winning easily. My poll had Kemp at about 52, our Insider Advantage poll. And we only had Perdue at about 37 or 38, but there are other candidates in the race. And in Georgia, of course, you have to win with 50% of the vote plus one vote. It's hard to say. It is easy to say this. This was unexpected. The pollsters did not expect this. I expected it a little more than the others, and I think so did Robert Daley. I think we're the only two. I don't think the campaigns expected this. So what's going to happen tonight, you'll see the early numbers. They will likely be early voting numbers. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that Kemp was winning the early vote. How much, we don't know, but it could be substantial. But as the night wears on and these same-day votes come out based on the polling that we've done, that number is going to compress. Whether it can compress enough to get him under 50%, I don't know. As I said, the president is very popular in Georgia. Perdue's campaign simply ran out of gas. I mean, they simply didn't have – you can't be on TV without TV and have the other side pelting you and not respond and expect for it not to be a hurt. At the same time, they kept a great ground game. They pressed on. They've worked every small city in the state. And some of the positions, for example, Perdue came out as being very pro-life. I think that's moving. For example, Fayette County and Coweta County are very conservative Christian electorate areas of Metro Atlanta, South Metro Atlanta. I'm told they have turned out in gangbuster numbers. I expect to see Perdue do very well there. So what it's going to be interesting to see is a combination of the decision to bring in these anti-Trump folks at the end, the decision for Trump's PACs and groups to continue to support Perdue even when he had no money, and the decision basically for the Kemp campaign to just sort of go quiet the last 5 days, takes them close to the position of a runoff. It's going to be closer than 60-30. I can assure you that. But I can assure you the networks and the newspapers that don't know anything about Georgia, they'll see the first returns and say, oh, it's over at 60-30. Well, hang on and watch.
Well, I'm going to be watching closely. I'll be live on the air. What's the reaction in Georgia? What's the likely fallout from Stacey Abrams calling Georgia the worst state to live in?
Oh, it is big time. I'm now in Florida, but I'm a native Georgian. I have entire advantage still in Atlanta, and I keep constant contacts there. As you know, served in the legislature there.
Well, you also ran for lieutenant governor. I mean, you have a long history there.
I do. Long history, and the history, you and I go back a long way from there. The fact is that people are stunned because Stacey is thought to be a pretty savvy political operative. The fact that she made that statement, even though she tried to give some preface to it and context, and, you know, you say things sometimes with context, but you don't expect that they're going to necessarily be kept in context. It has been a disaster, and I think her campaign will have to dig their way out of this for quite some time to come, because certainly Kemp or Perdue, whichever ends up being the nominee.
I would run that every ad I ran, I would run that clip in every single ad, and I would not stop the entire campaign.
It will be the centerpiece of the gubernatorial race in Georgia. No doubt about it. It was probably one of the biggest mistakes any candidate. And, you know, I've told people, I think Stacey can be very hard to beat. And I could base it on demographics and other things. But I can tell you, she just set herself back a point or two by making that statement today.
What about Herschel Walker, who I think is he's more than anything else, he's a phenomenal person and somebody I've gotten to know very closely and somebody that I like a lot. In my very studio in New York, right here where I am, we actually did push-ups together. He couldn't believe I could do as many as I could do. And I'm like, I do it every day, Herschel. And then I go, how many do you do a day? Oh, 2,000. I'm like, oh, okay, you win. I don't do 2,000 a day.
It's why I'm not doing mixed martial arts with you, Hannity.
By the way, we have that in common, too, because he actually stepped into the octagon. I love this guy.
I know, he does. This is a 20-second story. Had a national reporter talking to me a couple of days ago and said, now, you know, I know Herschel Walker, and he's sort of liked in Georgia and has decent name ID. I said, wait, let me stop you right here.
Yeah, okay. Decent? No, 100%, yeah.
I said, he is as close to a walking human deity as you can have in the state of Georgia, so for gosh sakes, don't write that. You won't sound like you know about what you're writing about. Walker starts with that great advantage. He also has a couple of hidden advantages. He's been visiting these African-American churches for the last 3 or 4 months. He needs to pick off a little bit of that African-American vote that otherwise would turn out for Stacey Abrams and would go for Warnock. I think he's going to do that in the general. I also think he's going to enthuse the MAGA base probably more than whoever the nominee for governor is, whether it's Perdue or Kemp. And so really, the whole general election centers around Herschel Walker. And
amazing. I agree with you.
Like he did with the University of Georgia, he's got to carry the ball and the entire defensive line across the goal line with him. And he's certainly capable of doing it.
That's the guy that's capable of doing it. All right, Matt Tower, insider advantage. Thanks for that update. We're going to be watching on Hannity tonight very closely. Appreciate you being with us.
Sure, Sean.
Oh, by the way, I meant to tell you this. New York Magazine's intelligentsia, or whatever they call the column, they did a column. A growing number of Democratic Party power brokers are now hoping to dump Joe Biden in 2024, and they're now searching for an alternative candidate. This is from New York Magazine, hardly a conservative magazine. As they look forward to 2024, Democrats are unified in their conception of doom. The restoration of Trump, joined down ballot by anti-democratic Republicans who will end free and fair elections and any hope of combating climate change. Many plugged-in Democrats were calculating the contingencies during a recent meeting of the party's establishment in Pinehurst, a golf resort in North Carolina. Inflation was at a 40-year high. Biden's disapproval rating was near 60%, and editors of the New York Times were readying a front-page report about how his signature achievement, the $1.9 trillion coronavirus spending, had barely registered with voters. And if Biden's health turned, or if the polling What do you mean if his health turned? It's turned. It's turned dramatically even since he's been in office. Anyway, or if his polling truly collapsed, which the party's governors might step up and save them from an electoral ruin and a nightmare of a Trump comeback. Scared to death of Trump. Trump lives, takes up more space in people's minds than any single one person I've ever met in my life. But anyway, so lately some of Biden's associates have reminisced uncomfortably about his obvious exhaustion during the 2020 primary and expressed wariness about the prospect of another campaign. I'm 66 and I'm exhausted, one of his longtime buddies said. I can't even imagine being 78, 79, 80, 81, and 82 and starting again. Who are they going to go to? Kamala? I don't think so. Buttigieg? God help us. I mean, I laugh at the thought of that. You know, with his wealth of experience as the mayor of South Bend, are you kidding? Oh, and by the way, you'll love this too. Biden is about to sign an executive order for a brand new crackdown on police. This is a headline out of, I forgot where I got this. Anyway, it's bad enough that in 2020, Biden endorsed the defund the police movement. And we know Kamala did. And we now see the effects of defund, dismantle, and no bail laws. Anyway, April Ryan saying that President Biden will mark the anniversary of George Floyd's death by signing an executive order on Wednesday to establish new rules and regulations for federal law enforcement officers. And, you know, here it is 2 years later, a source familiar with the executive order said Biden's unilateral move is an effort to be responsive after Congress failed to pass the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act. Okay, how's this working out for everybody? Defund, dismantle the police. Not working out very well. You got the economy in shambles. The world is in a state of crisis. And we have a president that can barely speak. Probably does not know that today is Tuesday. Maybe somebody can remind him in the White House between naps. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our number.
A new dawn is coming to the U.S. stock market, and it's time to throw out the investment blueprint of the last decade and prepare for a massive shift. If you've lost money over the past 2 years, this changes everything. Hi, my name is Mark Chaikin, and I was hired to create three new indices for the NASDAQ based on what I've learned in 50 years on Wall Street. So believe me when I tell you this shift could send dozens of stocks soaring sky high in just the next 90 days. But this is an extreme setup I haven't seen in years, since before the 2020 crash. The last time this happened, you could have more than tripled your money by just owning one stock. And I'm revealing this number one stock to buy today, 100% free of charge at newaistock.com. The question is why? Because everyday Americans will be impacted mostly by what's coming, and I want you to be on the right side of the table when this shift happens. Don't delay. Just visit www.newaistock.com.
Hey, if you want a firearm that is easy to transport, you got to check out the U.S. Survival Rifle from our friends at Henry Repeating Arms. Now, it is a portable rifle that you can put together, take apart in just minutes, and then when you're not using it, you can store the parts in the little case that it comes in. It's so small, you can store it pretty much anywhere, and it's light enough to carry everywhere. Now, it comes in black and two different camo patterns, and you can pick one up for $300 to $400, depending on the finish. Check out their videos. Go to their website. It's one word, henryusa.com/survival. And while you're there, make sure you order their free catalog. Now, Henry makes more than 200 rifles and shotguns and revolvers, all made in America, all backed by a lifetime satisfaction guarantee and the best customer service in the business. Go to their website, henryusa.com. Get their free catalog. They'll send you free decals and a list of dealers where you are. That's henryusa.com. Free catalog decals for the Henry U.S. Survival Rifle. You know, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been helping America's heroes and their families ever since 9/11. Now, hero first responders and service members, the people that serve our communities, our country, those who die in the line of duty, those who are catastrophically injured, veterans who have fought for our nation's freedoms only to return home, fall on tough times, and become homeless. Heroes like Buffalo, New York firefighter Jason Arno and his family. Now, Arno was killed while protecting his community. He was battling a warehouse fire. He left behind a wife and a young daughter. In their darkest hour, Tunnel to Towers provided Arno's wife and daughter with a mortgage-free home. The foundation lifted a financial burden, enabling them to stay in the home where they made their memories with their hero. Now you can join the Tunnel to Towers Foundation on the mission to do good and support the families of America's greatest heroes, and that means the families of fallen first responders just like Jason Arno, and Gold Star families with young children and catastrophically injured service members, and also homeless vets. Please commit to $11 a month. Go to their website, the letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org. The letter T, the number 2, the letter T.org for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.